Thanks to the Brexit vote in 2016, the United Kingdom is scheduled to leave the European Union in March of 2019. Prime Minister Theresa May is meeting her ministers today to continue talks about the government's approach to the final Brexit deal. There's been a lot of discussion about exactly what the new relationship between the UK and the EU should be after March of next year. Joining us now is Anthony Phillipson, who's the Trade Commissioner for North America for the United Kingdom. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much indeed.
And where are we on Brexit negotiations right now? And will that March 2019 date be met?
Yes, it will, because the way that the Article 50 period process works is we triggered it on March 29th, 2017, and it's a fixed two-year period. So we are in the middle of the negotiation with our European partners. At the back end of last year, we reached a significant moment where we achieved what we call sufficient progress on some of the key issues around withdrawal. Now we're negotiating what we call the implementation period, which we hope to agree with the EU and the 27 member states in March. At the same time, we're starting to talk about the nature and how we're going to put in place the future partnership between us. But yes, March 2019 will be met.
And what are the key sticking points at this point?
Well, I think at one level, we need to sort of think through how do we sort of remove ourselves from the EU. No one's done that before. But also at the same time, we need to be very clear. The Prime Minister in her speeches from the very beginning has made clear that we aim to achieve a new strategic partnership between the UK and the EU, covering our economic relationship, covering our security relationship, making sure that we're leaving the EU, but we're not leaving Europe. That's quite a big agenda. It needs to be unpacked, and that's what we spent a lot of time doing, both internally in the UK government and sort of with our European partners. And now we need to negotiate the forward process.
And are your European partners going to be willing to make a deal like that? Because they don't want to encourage, obviously, other countries to leave the EU and feel that they can still have a good trading relationship with Europe.
I think the priority for our European partners, and they've made this clear actually from almost the first few days after the referendum in June 2016, is that they will prioritize maintaining the unity of the single market and the unity of the 27. I think they regret our leaving, but they recognize the validity of the vote. So I think, yes, they will be willing to negotiate with us above board, fairly and constructively, both how we separate ourselves and then how we go forward. But they will have their own priorities.
Do you think that the idea of the single market that lived up to its original expectations, that it would improve trade and create jobs and lower prices?
Well, I think that's quite a big topic. It deserves some unpacking. I think the single market, which the UK was a very big supporter of, and it was arguably the issues around creating a common market and a trading area that was at the heart of sort of the British campaign to join the EU or what was then the EEC in the first place. I think the single market has been very successful at creating a single market with a system of single system of rules and regulations. But there are opportunities outside the single market, and we were already starting to prioritize those in some of our trade and investment activities around the world. I spent 4 years in Singapore until 2015, so before the vote, and that's what we will now continue to do. We want a new relationship with the EU, but at the same time, we want to make sure that we are continuing to deepen and strengthen partnerships with traditional allies like the US and also the new growth markets of the world.
Well, you're here in the United States. You're presumably talking to companies in the U.S. What kind of conversations are you having? What are they asking? What are you telling them?
So, I mean, first of all, if I may, my role here I'm based in New York, but I cover the U.S. and Canada. And so I spend a lot of time talking through our trade and investment teams across all of our consulates in the U.S. and Canada and their colleagues about the future economic partnership between the U.K. and the U.S. and between the U.K. and Canada. We published in November last year something we call an industrial strategy. It sets out a sort of a focus on the key sectors of our economy going forward, so life sciences, financial services, advanced engineering, manufacturing, energy and infrastructure, creative media tech, etc. And then talks about the issues that we will want to work through from a policy point of view as we look to build that economy around people, places, ideas, the business environment, and the conversation that we want to have with U.S. companies, both potential export targets, but also investment partners, is how can we take forward a discussion about the U.K. and the U.S. and Canadian economies for mutual benefit? We're all looking to do the same thing, which is create jobs, create growth, and run successful economies for the future.
Do you think that a bilateral trade deal between the U.K. and the U.S. is likely? It seemed like that's what the Prime Minister Theresa May was talking about with President Trump in Davos.
So the Prime Minister and the President first talked about it in January last year when the Prime Minister was the first foreign visitor to the White House after the President's inauguration. And they were very positive about the potential for agreeing a bilateral trade deal when we were able to negotiate it. In July last year, the Secretary of State for International Trade, Liam Fox, was in Washington and agreed with his counterpart, Bob Lighthizer, the U.S. Trade Representative, something we call the Trade and Investment Working Group. That has a number of strands of activity. One of them is a future trade agreement. So we're starting to talk about it. We're starting to think about what might be in it. But it's not the only thing we talk about. We will look for all ways to sort of develop and strengthen the relationship between us.
How soon could something like that happen if it does?
So our view is that we're very conscious of our obligations while we remain a member state between now and March 2019. We are, as I say, negotiating the implementation period that will kick in after March 2019, and the Prime Minister has said will last for around 2 years from then. But we do believe that there are things that we can talk about with the US, as long as we don't implement and bring into force a trade agreement that would then cut across our obligations as a member of the European Union.
How much of an impact do you think Brexit is going to have on the UK's trading relationship with countries closer to the UK, like France, like Ireland?
So it clearly will have an impact. As I said earlier, we are looking to sort of separate ourselves from the EU, and the Prime Minister has said that means we will be leaving the single market, leaving the customs union. The key question now is what's the future relationship and how do we arrange that relationship in order to deliver the Prime Minister's ambition? And indeed, I think we've seen this reflected back at us from some of the statements from the EU around seamless and frictionless trade as far as possible. We are very clear that we do not want to see a border in Ireland, and we are very clear that we want to see trade continuing to flow. We're very conscious that a lot of companies, including US investors, have set up in the UK in order to access the single market, and we don't want to disrupt that. So now what we need to do is talk to our colleagues about how we design a new trading relationship between the UK and the 27 in order to keep that trade moving smoothly.
But you can't make individual deals with individual countries, right? You're going to have to make one with the EU in a way.
Indeed, but actually I think that's an opportunity. Absolutely, though, as you say, the EU will negotiate, indeed as it does now with us as a member, it negotiates on our behalf in terms of external trade. So the agreement will be reached between the UK and the Commission. The Commission will be operating, though, to a mandate set by the 27, and it will reflect all of their views. But no, you're quite right. It'll be a single deal. But that's good.
You mentioned Canada. I was talking to a friend in the UK who said that he thought that Brexit would allow the UK to have a stronger relationship with all the Commonwealth countries. Do you think that's the case?
I think as we leave the EU, we will be looking to deepen and strengthen everywhere, including with old allies and with new partners, some of whom are in the Commonwealth. We have always taken the Commonwealth very seriously in terms of a group of nations with whom we want to have a particular discussion, including on the trade and investment side. We are hosting a Commonwealth summit, a meeting of Commonwealth heads of state and government in the next couple of months, and we will certainly be talking there about the opportunities for building a trade and economic partnership between the UK and the other members.
What about China?
Clearly a massive priority for all of us. The Prime Minister was there last month talking to the leadership, talking to businesses. I have a counterpart who's a trade commissioner for China and Hong Kong and is pursuing a very similar agenda to the one I'm pursuing here, looking for all ways to understand how we can sort of bring the economies together, how we can realize the opportunities for UK exports to China and how we can continue to attract Chinese investment into the UK.
So whether or not you were for Brexit to begin with, you've now got to figure out how to make it work for the UK. Is there a lot of regret, though, do you think, in Britain about that vote?
I think you can see the debate playing out, but I would just focus on one fact, which is that the government has a clearly stated position. It is taking what it regards as a totally fairly constitutionally arranged vote in June 2016. There was a clear majority in favor of leaving the EU, and the government's obligation now, and it's the policy it has set out, is to deliver a successful Brexit and a future partnership with the EU and with the rest of the world that will be to the benefit of the UK.
Is there a possibility of a second referendum?
I think the government has said that there will be a meaningful vote in Parliament, but we have had a referendum. There has been a decision. We need to look forward.
That's Antony Phillipson, who is the UK's Trade Commissioner in North America. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.